Today on Real Radio.
Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, when you give in charitable giving, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing personally. Did you know that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this epistle, but for the past several broadcasts, Pastor Jack has been bringing us a new series within a series that focuses on parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10. It's all about the scriptural worldview of giving, and we're not dealing with the giving of money only. It could be time, talent, treasure, and we are to give with a cheerful heart. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his multi-part series called Giving What's Been Given.
It is true that Jesus said, no greater love does a man have than he lays down his life for his friend, but what we offer to our friend is a mere type or a mere symbol of that great love which has been given to us whereby he has loved us. Think of that for a moment. Jesus said, no greater love than a man has, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But that very act, is it not a symbol, a type of what Jesus did for us? Someone say amen. It's true. We are to live our lives in a typology, in an action, because we've learned this from God. And my argument to you this morning is that we're to give like Jesus gave because he gave without reservation. And that's an encouraging thing. So watch this. As a believer, as a Christian church, this is one Christian church in this community. You know, we're blessed. In this surrounding area right here, there are so many churches that love Jesus Christ. It is easy. I mean, think about what's happening right now. Just over the hill is, and I'm just going to pick on Calvary Chapels. Just over the hill, there's thousands of people at Calvary Chapel Golden Springs with Raul Reese. Just down the street are thousands of believers at Calvary Chapel Chino Valley with Pastor David. Just down the freeway are thousands of Christian believers at Harvest Christian Fellowship with Greg Laurie. And you can go on, and how many tens of thousands of believers are in this part of Babylon where we live? I believe whatever good is going on in this region of the world is because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the lives of believers and believers living out, following Jesus, the example that Christ gave us. And one of them is giving. Did you know last week I mentioned to you guys about helping those in the body here in this church? And you responded. Those needs that were listed are being met or have been met. And somebody might say, well, you know, this is a big church, and you know, I don't know, and how can I participate? Big church, big needs. If you're in a small church, you still have needs. If you're in a medium-sized church, you've got needs. If you are in a big church, you got big needs. And what we don't want to do is let others in the body of Christ be like Jesus, and we don't. We can all get involved in the ministry to the brethren, to the saints. We need to be careful. The Bible warns us in the last days about closing up shop spiritually, so to speak. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says there, Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider or provoke one another in order to stir up love and good works. Did you know we're supposed to do that? Listen, I'm going to be kind of sarcastic here in a minute. Are you ready? I feel ornery today. And you'll be the victims of it. I'm sorry. Do not forsake or not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day. Look in your Bibles, it's capital D, the day approaching, the return of Christ. Our time is limited. Watch this. Our time is limited as Christians to get involved. Okay? But there are people today like I've never seen before in my life giving up on the assembling together as a church. Well, the church is too big. The church is too small. Sounds like Goldilocks theology. The church is too middle size. The music's too loud. The music's too soft. There's too many hymns. There's not enough hymns. I mean, on and on it goes. Oh, listen, I love you, but put a sock in that. Listen, we're here for him. And if we're here for him, then we're here for them. The them are those around you. It's not about us. It's about the person sitting next to you. This is Christianity. Well, I've come to the church today, and I'm just going to evaluate it to see how I like it. Wait a minute. You're the one being evaluated. God is evaluating you. Are you discerning and listening to the Spirit of God, using the Word of God to minister to the body of Christ? One of the things he's going to tell you is, be like my son Jesus. And there are people who are saying, well, I don't need to go to church anymore. I had somebody tell me, they said, I've been to Bible studies for 30 years. I stopped going to church because I can't learn anything. And by the way, the person that told me that, their life wound up or is currently in shambles. And you say, well, church can't save you. I didn't say church could save you. But the Bible commands us to get together and be one, warts and all. Do you know what I mean by warts and all? Well, there's people here that I don't like. That's Christianity. Well, that person wasn't nice to me. Welcome to the club. We're family. That's why we don't get along all the time. We're family. You know how that works? We are commanded to love each other. Isn't that funny? Why did he command us to love one another? Because I'm not going to love you, and you're not going to love me, and we have to choose to do that. It's a choice. Why do we do that? Because he so generously has loved us. He's so amazing. The Bible tells us, Paul the Apostle, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says there, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, you ought to circle the word said in Acts 20, 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever heard that? It is more blessed to give than to receive? If you've heard that, raise your hand. Let's see. Okay, everybody's heard that. Oh, this is fun. Paul the Apostle says that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I challenge you, go to the Gospels and try to find where Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can't find the verse. It's not in there. Always read your Bible carefully. You see right here in Acts 20, 35, when Paul says that he said, see the word said? This is cool. Are you sitting down? I hope you get this. The word said in the Greek means this. It means to say something over and over again to the point where people, when they see you, they hear that word. So, for example, do you have like a little favorite saying in your own life? I've been told that I have one, and it's awesome. It's a biblical word, awesome. I'm biblical. But do you have one? Is it like cool? Is it whatever? We have a friend that says, God love you. That's her favorite line, God love you. It's cute. It's just sweet. Oh, God love you. That's her thing. When you see her coming, you know within seconds, you're going to hear, God love you. And you know, I can't do a message or speak to you without, oh, that's awesome. Well, guess what the word was that Jesus, without it being printed up in the Gospels, it's something that all the apostles and all of the people heard all the time from Jesus, so much so, it's a no-brainer. What was it? Jesus said, often, day in, day out, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can you imagine? Oh, Peter, you know what? When you go over there, I know Jesus. You're going to say it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Oh, yeah, that's right, Peter. It was always coming out of his mouth. Why? Because our God's generous. And I believe that's true. I don't want to belabor this, but it is fun. Have you noticed, really honestly, it is truly, even in the unbelieving world, it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. Did you know that? Now look, you say, what? I don't get that. Yes, you do. Giving, when you get something, when you receive, it's cool for how long? I mean, kids are a perfect living example of this at Christmas. They open up the gift, they look at it, right? Boom, next. Unwrap it. Boom, next. Until they get to the end of the stuff and they say, is that all? Have you noticed that receiving is very temporarily lived? Have you noticed that in life? You ever buy a new car? That new car, listen, for a month, that new car, you park 1 mile away from the mall. You park sideways and not under a tree. So no evil can befall your brand new car. You don't let it get dirty. You guard that thing, I mean, for 4 weeks it's an idol. And then, you know what, life happens and you're busy and you wind up forgetting about it. You know, you keep shopping carts away from it, and then after 4 weeks you're pushing shopping carts out of the way with it. Right? Why? Because giving is much more beneficial than receiving. Okay? When we give, there's something about, now I hope this makes sense. It's going to sound nuts, and if it does to you, it's because I made it up on my own. And if it somehow blesses you, it means God gave you supernatural understanding. I believe that giving, done in the way from a heart that means it, is a lasting, joyful event. Because when you give, have you noticed in your life, you tend to give the things that you appreciate the most. Or if that's not it, you've studied that person to find out, I want to really bless them. This is what they like. That's what I'm going to give them. They might throw it off to the side and continue looking at other gifts. But you have the never-ending satisfaction of knowing, I bless them with a blessing that I think is a blessing. And so in giving to them, I've received by the giving. Does it make some sense? Yes. And I can't think of a more accurate thing regarding true biblical Christianity being lived out. It is definitely more blessed to give than it is to receive. Being stingy does nothing for you. And a stingy church is sad. And so that's vitally important. The Bible goes on also to tell us that in Ephesians chapter 5, you talk about giving and receiving. Ephesians 5, now ushers, just open the doors and let people run out with this one. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 tells us, husbands, love your wives. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. How? Just as Christ also loved the church. How? He gave himself for her. Wow. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. What does that mean? Husband, you want to be... How many husbands are in here? Raise your hands. Husbands? How many single guys are in here right now? Raise your hands. Why are you guys... There's a bunch of men lying right now. Some men didn't even raise their hands. You're either a man, single, or you're a man and you're a husband. Okay, here's the deal. Husbands, do you want to be happy? You want to be blessed? And all the men said, yes. That was weak. Man, you guys are so fearful. So here's the deal. You want to be blessed?
Yes.
Ooh. Bless your wife. How's that? Well, remember, you know how Jesus died for the church? So you die for your wife. And you'll be blessed. Give, and you'll be blessed. Listen, the picture, God is generous. A husband should be generous to his wife. And there's some women clapping right now. Good, that's good. A blessed wife winds up blessing her husband, and though that should not be his motive for his actions, he should do it because Jesus said to do it. The joy of dying to self and living for her is exactly what Jesus did on the cross for the church, and all benefit. Even Jesus, on Resurrection Day, he purchased for us salvation, and he's blessed by that. And of course, we are blessed by that. It's amazing to think how God is so generous. The Bible tells us regarding his goodness to us in John chapter 4, verse 13, John 4, 13. You know this, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she's at Jacob's well. And it says there in the dialogue that Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, now think of this, she gave him water, Jesus is holding this cup, And whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Well, no kidding. She might have been thinking, no kidding. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Okay, that's a radical thing to say. But the water that I shall give him will become in him, inside, a fountain of water springing up into eternal or everlasting life. And the woman said to Jesus, if we kept reading in that chapter, give me this water. Of course, that's a normal response to such an offer. Jesus says, listen, you drink this water of this world, you're going to be thirsty. You drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. The whole issue was what? She winds up meeting the Christ. And she's satisfied from that time on. And then the whole city comes out. And they wind up accepting Christ, satisfied forever. Listen, those who traffic in religions and have not yet experienced Christianity, they're thirsty. They're thirsty. We had Jehovah's Witnesses going through our neighborhood, and again, they skipped my house. It's very offensive. I'm offended. Can't the ACLU sue them for me because I'm offended? They come down the street and skip my house. But what are they doing? Listen, they're even though they're telling you, you need to join us, they're thirsty. I know something about them they don't know exactly, is that they're thirsty. Well, how do you know? Because Jesus said, you drink the water I give you and you'll never thirst again. They haven't drank of the water that he gives. They don't understand who he is. And you think of that through the cults and false religions of the world. They're thirsty people. Give them water. Give them to drink. Give them Jesus. Why? Listen, their salvation, their hope is not predicated upon what you and I can produce for them. Their hope, their salvation, their satisfaction is all predicated upon what Jesus gives. And do you know that today? Do you know that satisfaction? See, this has everything to do with the Corinthian church stepping up and giving. So you might say, well, what about this water, this living water, everlasting water? What is that stuff? I knew you'd ask. So in John 7:37, Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Notice, Jesus did not say, anybody thirsty, let him come and drink. He didn't say that. He said, anybody thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Okay? He who believes in me puts all his weight upon him. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What's he talking about? Look at verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Hear the confidence in this? The true Christian that's born again, saved, going to heaven is not thirsty. They've been satisfied. And how are they satisfied? The indwelling Holy Spirit is like rivers pumping out of them. How fun would this be? In my cartoon brain, this is how I see it. There's a knock on my door. It's our local cult. I open the door and I say, hi, I'm so glad you're here. And they might say, oh, were you expecting us? And I could say, I don't know, but my God was. And in that second, the next clip is them getting hit by a ton of water. And everything blows them back there onto the porch. And they stand up with big smiles on their faces, soaking wet. And they say, what was that? Because Jesus says, out of your innermost being, for the believer, will gush torrents of living water. It's not our water. He gave us this water. And what are we to do? It is to gush out of us. Why? We are to be a giving people. Amen. And what does that mean? Well, spiritually, people who come in contact with us should get wet. Spiritually speaking. Think of that. Another thing is this. Verses 3 and 4, we learn that giving what's been given, Jesus gives in such a way. And I deliberately left that hanging. Jesus gives in such a way, and I thought about that. He gives without reservation, and Jesus gives in such a way. And you ask yourself, how does Jesus give? Now, we're coming up to that part that's going to offend someone here in a moment. It says here in verses 3 and 4, Paul is saying to them, I hope our boasting of you wasn't in vain. We've really bragged about you guys. Now, can I insert this? You guys listening? Yeah. Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, when you give in charitable giving, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing personally. Did you know that? You're not supposed to say, hey, I just gave $1,000 to whatever. You're not supposed to do that. That's a weirdo. If you do that, you're weird. That's strange. Come on, that's strange. If you're bragging about what you gave, that's weird. By the way, Jesus said, enjoy the accolades because you've just received your reward. He said, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. In other words, keep your giving personally secret. Isn't it interesting? In the Bible, it's not true about a church. A church corporately. Paul is bragging about both the Macedonian churches as givers, and he's bragging in advance about the Corinthian church keeping their promise to give. Here we have the apostle boasting about a church. I love that. I get to speak on a lot of different platforms, and I got news for you. I am so happy to tell people in other places, other states, other churches, other conferences, that the church that I have the honor to serve are incredibly responsive in whatever that area might be. I might get the credit at a conference for being the church of doers here. But I know, can I use this term? I know which side my bread is buttered on. It's you. It's you obeying Jesus. It's you being generous. It's you acting your Christianity out in the public world. It's you who are worshiping God. And I get to boast to others about that. Totally biblical. Well, you know, Pastor, you shouldn't boast. Yes, I should when it comes to you and what you're doing to the glory of God. It would be wrong for me to boast, especially when I have nothing to boast of. But I have absolute biblical grounds to boast about all of you. And I enjoy that. And Paul does the same thing. So listen, our example is that Jesus is always ready to give. He's always ready to give. He gives in such a way that he's always ready to give. Christian, Jesus has always been ready and does give to you the things you need. It's a fact.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. It's a multi-part series taken from parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians, and the all-important topic of giving. Giving what's been given is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember, we're getting a lot of responses from Real Radio listeners on this series, so that's why we're making it available for you on DVD. Now, it's a 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. You know, a lot of folks, friends of the ministry and Real Radio listeners have called in saying this really is quite a valuable and biblically based treatment of this topic of, well, just that, giving. And they're sharing it with friends, family, and their local church, and that's why we're continuing to make it available just for you. So here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. I'll say that again. For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been hearing right here on Real Radio. So call, click, or write. Just be sure to mention that title, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, just ask for it by name when you write to us, Tools, Giving What's Been Given, and send it to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.